Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back, and we've got some interesting things, Joe, here. Godfather of AI, artificial intelligence, leaves Google and warns of dangers ahead. I was listening to him. He was on the news, and he says things are moving too fast, and he left there because he's very, very concerned. Well, let me just read you. Jeffrey Hinton was an artificial intelligence pioneer in 2012. Dr. Hinton and two of his graduate students at the University of Toronto created technology that becomes the intellectual foundation for the AI systems that the tech industry's biggest companies believe is the key to their future. On Monday, however, he officially joined a growing chorus of critics who say those companies are racing toward danger with an aggressive campaign to create products based on generative artificial intelligence, the technology that powers popular chatbots like ChatGPT. Dr. Hinton said that he has quit his job at Google, where he has worked for more than a decade, and become one of the most respected voices in the field, so he can freely speak out about the risks of AI. A part of him said he regrets his life's work. I console myself with a normal excuse. If I hadn't done it, somebody else would have, Dr. Hilton said during a lengthy interview last week in the dining room of his home in Toronto, a short walk from where he and his students made their breakthrough. I'll just stop right there, Joe. So I'm hearing a louder and louder chorus of these people that are very, very concerned about AI getting out of control. What do you think?
Yes, I read the same article, and he mentioned several other names of people that were involved. And when all these people are coming out and they're giving up jobs, giving up careers, we need to take them very seriously. But before we get too far off, you were talking about doers of the word, church, and preaching scripture and holding to the word of God. I did a story last week I want to repeat because I think it's so important. George Barna, through the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, did another one of his big surveys. And this American Worldview Inventory for 2023 found that just 44% of, now this is self-proclaimed born-again Christians, believe Jesus didn't commit any sins during his life on earth. That's down from 58% in 2020. So in 3 years, that's gone down from 58% to 44%, and that's in people who claim, you know, profess to be born again. I'm sure they can't be born again to have a real possession when they believe that. But if you look through this whole thing, he's talking about everything's falling down, that Christians no longer believe that God is the basis of all truth. There's a big drop. The purpose of life is to know, love, and serve God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And that's way down by 10% in just a couple of years and all everything like that. But at the end, the scary thing, he said two things. This is a time when pastors would be wise to return to many basic Christian principles to rebuild the spiritual foundation of their congregations. Oh, as that and they need it. And then he said in the U.S., the population that has a true biblical worldview has dropped to like 4%. And that means taking your faith, if you're a Christian, if you're a real born-again believer, your worldview, how you see the world, how you vote, how you live, how you treat your fellow man, how you donate what you donate your money to, what you give your time to, your worldview. So he's saying that of all these people, these thousands of people he surveyed, only a small percent of the born-again, professed born-again believers actually have a Christian worldview. Look at the world with the mind of Christ. And that's saying that the church is in apostasy now, and now is the time for us to be really preaching the gospel, teaching God's word, and trying to bring salvation, because the world right now is full of lost. Even people who profess to be Christian, profess to be born again, the surveys show they are only have a profession, not a possession at all.
All right, let me ask you this. If a person tells you that he's a born-again believer, and that but he believes that Jesus sinned, then what would you say to that person? Because if Jesus had sinned, he could not be Messiah. I mean, the very fact.
Then you can't be born again, because you can't be born again believing something that's not true. Because if Jesus sinned, he's not the Messiah, he's not the Christ, he's not the Savior, he's not the Son of God, because he was the sinless, spotless, sinless sacrifice that paid the sin debt for us. And if he wasn't sinless, your sin debt has not been forgiven, you are not saved, and you are headed for hell.
Absolutely. So, again, and we've told people this over and over about biblical literacy. Now, you say, according to Barna, I was hoping it would be more than 4%, but, you know, the Bible, the Lord Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but very few will enter.
No, he didn't say we're born again. He said the 4% had an actual biblical worldview.
Well,
there are more that have that are born again believers, but even among them, very few have a Christian worldview. In other words, how they vote.
Then how can they be? How can they be born again? You see,
you can be, I think, a new born again believer and not totally understand yet how to have the mind of Christ and put it into use on a daily basis.
Well, anyhow. Give you an example here about how words have meaning. Red State, world's largest Baptist university, hosts queer sex ed night. Now, this is Baylor University, and it claims to be the world's largest Baptist college with 16,000 students. First of all, Baylor probably actually was a Baptist college when it started. It was was not, and that was back in 1845. Okay, so they held to Baptist teachings, Baptist faith. Now, first of all, here's what the vast majority of people in this country don't understand. Baptist is not a denomination. I said that three times because most people are they're clueless. They don't understand. Baptist is a doctrine. You find that in Hebrews 5 and 6, in fact. Now, and that is that they hold to all of the principles of the Bible. They hold to all of the fundamental teachings. Those that hold to this, the fundamental teachings of the Bible, are Baptists. That's be called a Baptist. Now, here, Baylor.
Baptist is a fundamentalist.
Yeah. Baylor, had they taught what they're teaching today back in 1845, both sides, in the North and the South, would have tore them down. It would have tore it down. But Baylor is an apostate, and only about, I would say, less than 10% of those that have Baptist in their name are actually Baptist. 90% are Protestant. They're not Baptist. But Baylor is apostate. I would never, ever send a child to Baylor University. Never, okay? Here, where they promote sodomy. They promote LGBTQ. Let me just read their goals. Enhance learning and education for students, faculty and staff, and alumni to create a safe, respectable environment for lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queer. Of course, they call it LGBTQ, but I give them my own name, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queers. Now, provide a space for the lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queer community to come together to engage. Joe, let me ask you this now. What does God refer to sodomites as?
Well, he used the word abomination. Kind of a strong word, isn't it?
Yeah, an abomination.
I think it means the stench of rotting flesh in the nostril of a holy God. Doesn't sound to me very good.
And five times in the scripture, sodomites are referred to as what animal?
Dogs.
As dogs, right.
The lowest form of, in that world, the dog was the worst thing you could call somebody.
Okay, provide LGBT community to come together to engage and participate and celebrate their individual identities and identity as a group. Provide resources to navigate essential services, including physical, mental, or spiritual well-being at Baylor and beyond. Help students gain deeper understanding of their own and others' complex and intersexual identities, including gender and sexuality and spirituality. Now, let me ask you this, Joe. Some of your younger people that I know who will listen to the radio program, they want to know, but these are not biblical times. Doesn't God understand? Won't God adjust and accept to the change in society and the change in morality? Now, I'm not kidding you.
I know. I'm laughing because God cannot change, will not change. God is exactly, he's unchangeable. He's not going to change because a few puny little humans disagree with him, want to have something their way. He's not going to change. His rule, his law, his words are eternal. He says it will be that way forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know what's so hard to understand about that.
So these young people that think, well, we don't understand why God won't adjust to society. When he talks about why the heathen range over there in Psalms 2, and he talks about he's going to have them in derision. Are we seeing a whole lot of young people today in derision?
Oh, we're seeing derision. We're seeing confusion. We're seeing blindness. We're seeing the apostasy of the church. The falling away of the world.
So, yeah, but now how many people understand what they're seeing? What percentage do you think of our society actually understands what they're seeing?
Boy, I hate to say it, but I think it's a pretty small percent.
You'd be
right. I think it's down like 5%, something like that, maybe.
Yeah, if that.
If and that, so, I'm trying to be optimistic.
And so, but now, I want to say this. In our area here, and on this radio station, you have a number of churches that are fundamentalist Baptist churches, and they do fall within that 4% of the world having a biblical worldview. And so, I'm going to, in fact, I was talking with another unregistered New Testament church that just opened up the pastor about having our conferences up here, and these are a number of area unregistered Baptist churches that hold literally to the Word of God. I know we've had our national conferences many times. I've probably gone to about 30 of them, but I think we should have another one up here where we get together, because we really, the days really require it, don't they?
Boy, do they, yeah.
All righty. We had talked to...
Look at this, to go with what you just said. I looked up Baylor's AIM, the AIM of the university, online, stated online. The mission of Baylor University is to educate men and women for worldwide leadership and service by integrating academic excellence and Christian commitment within a caring community. Well, somebody took the caring community, but kind of crossed off the word Christian, because Christian caring is when you love somebody enough to tell them the truth. Your behavior is going to send you to hell if you don't change your behavior, what you believe, what you're doing. You are committing sins and are going to go to hell. That's loving somebody enough to actually stand there and tell them something they don't want to hear. That takes love. If you don't love somebody, you're sure not going to go out of your way to talk to somebody, you know, like that, tell them the truth. You can only do truth out of real love for your fellow man.
Here's a, you're absolutely right, Joe. And here's an interesting one. Huge transgender student pummels schoolgirls after entering female locker room. And this is from the Western Journal. A high school fight in California was more than the usual brawling that has become common, according to the news report. The fight pitted a male student who claims he's transgendered against female students, according to KTTV TV. Social media videos showed pieces of the action in which a smaller female student fights a much larger opponent.
No, he picked on several girls. I actually looked at the video, and there were two or three girls that he picked on. It was beating them all up.
And so, well, you know, he was a girl too, Joe. Right?
Right, sure.
He spit on my friends that are girls, female girls. Female girls, yeah. He shows his genitals in the locker room, Vollmer said. Joe, what do you think if this guy, Joe, do you think he would understand if he found out that since he has genitals, since he has a penis, Joe, that he's really not a girl? I mean, I know he goes to a public school, but, and he's from a Democratic Party family, has to be. Do you think he would understand if you were to tell him that girls don't have penises? What do you think?
You know, some of these guys, I think, just are taking advantage and are just pushing it because they're mean, they're bullies, they want to intimidate and force themselves on others in a way. I think a lot of it isn't, they don't really believe that they're a different sex. I think they're just using it to be cruel, mean, and intimidate and have power over people that they wouldn't normally have.
He goes on in this article, says here, I'm just thinking to myself, what are they doing to protect these children, really? A parent, Roxanne Marshall, said. What would you tell Roxanne? Would you say, hey, Roxanne, here's an idea. Get your daughter out of that school. Right, as soon as possible, where you've got it's a freak show there. Get your daughter out of that school. In fact, you're in California, I would get out of that state if you could. That's what I would do. I would go to a red state and put your daughter into a Christian school. Would you tell her that?
I sure would. Yep. Yeah, homeschool, Christian school, or, you know, the parents. If enough parents in this country actually took over the public school full system, got rid of the teachers' unions, went back to a local school board that really cared about their children and their grandchildren and their neighborhood communities. We had some great schools back when I was young. We had prayer in school. We had the Ten Commandments. We had a rifle team that actually, we brought our rifles or 22s to school and went and had a shooting range.
They're doing the same thing. Kids are bringing their guns to school today, too, and they're shooting.
A little different now. Now they're shooting up the schools. We were shooting at targets, and nobody ever used a gun on another human being. Like today, they have to smuggle them in, but then they kill people.
Well, you're allowed to do that in Chicago, virtually. You're pretty much allowed to shoot at least one or two. And if you do get arrested, you could probably be out the next day. And so
the way they're...
here's a guy...
Releasing murderers and people, rapists and people. I've got story after story in a pile here about somebody who was, threatened and...
Matthew Inglis said. And Matthew Inglis said, "It worries me about my daughters. I'm 100% thinking of taking my daughters out of our USD. That's the name of the school there.
School, yeah.
Yeah.
Better quit thinking and take action.
And I'm changing districts because of the fact that I don't feel like they're doing enough." He said, "Well, you may be onto something there, Matthew." All right, Joe.
So people are a little slow to figure this out. We've done story after story after story. Here's one more. From being born a man to queen of the mountain, trans cyclist romps to victory in elite women's race, winning 28,000 pounds in the process, sparking new anger at the sport's transgender rules. It was just some guy claiming to be a female, Austin Killips, and won this tour of the Gila in New Mexico, USA, a very elite race sanctioned by the sport world's governing body, the UCI. But they let this man, and he won by quite a bit. And, we're just, common sense is dead. People are letting the stupidest things happen. We're destroying women in this world. There for a while, remember, everything was anti-male, 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 anti-boy, and now they're going after the women. I wonder when people are realizing they're going after the human race, trying to create hatred, trying to create fear, dissension, trying to just basically...
It's divide and conquer, Joe. It's called divide and conquer. Let's open up the phone lines.
Society on purpose.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly right. You've seen, this is what the enemy does. This is what the devil does. What did Karl Marx say that his goal was where it came to planet Earth? He wanted to destroy Earth and all those that are on it.
Right.
And so here, let's open up the phone lines. And we'll take some calls at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. The phone lines are now open if you have a question or a comment. The good news is this. Look, God is on the throne. He's in complete control. Everything he said he will do, he has done, is doing, and will do. And Lord's willing, next week, I'd like to... speak to the benefits of being a Democrat and a Satanist, which today are basically pretty much one of the same. And, folks, the Bible's pretty clear. It doesn't stutter. It shows you exactly what's in store for you by the one who is, by the only one that's completely, totally capable of doing and always has been exactly what he says. So, 888 677-9673 nationwide. Joe, Senator Ron Johnson, I want to lead off with this maybe tomorrow. Anthony Blinken lied. He told a bold-faced lie, to Congress over contact with Hunter Biden. Now, Joe, let me ask you this. Isn't it a crime, a felony, to lie to Congress?
Yes, especially because you get sworn in when you testify in front of Congress.
And Anthony Blinken knew he was lying when he did it. Now, the problem is we don't have a Department of Justice, do we?
No, we don't.
And so, well, Congress is going to bring him in, and they're going to shake him down. He needs it because an old hunter didn't have a good day today, did he?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, no. Who do we have? Who do we have first, Craig?
We got Vince in St. Paul.
Let's go to St. Paul, Minnesota, with Vince. Vince, you're in the air.
Good evening. You guys, you guys are talking about how the Republicans were fighting against slavery in the Civil War. I don't know if I would talk good of Abraham Lincoln invading the South. I don't think that's very Christian either. He had no right to invade the South.
Well, yeah, what he was trying to do is keep the country together, okay? But and I know there's a lot of people who say that slavery was not the main focus, but it really was, okay?
And yeah.
So,
okay.
And it was wrong. And those people that say that God's word, the Bible, condoned slavery, he didn't condone slavery. God gave you servanthood, okay? And it was much different than slavery. But
Yeah, okay.
Already.
Yeah, I wouldn't say invading the South was a good Christian thing either, though.
Well, when you're trying to keep your country together, you got to do what you got to do, don't you? Alrighty, let's go to Cliff. Clifford, you're in the air.
Yeah, how you doing? I have a question on James 1, but also the David Knight Show, April 27th. From about a half hour to an hour into the podcast, he talks about Naomi Wolf's findings with her team of 3,500 scientists. One of the things on the shot was the information submitted to the FDA before it was released showed that it had negative effectiveness, actually made the virus worse and much more contagious. And at the end of it, she's determined that the shots that they're giving the children are being made by Fosun Pharmaceuticals, which is a Chinese pharmaceutical company. But my question is, I was listening to Tony Evans, the alternative podcast. He's doing a series on James, and James Chapter 1, he was talking about the verses would be chapter 1, verses 19 to 21, where it says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, he interprets that as being you're supposed to listen to God, and you'll hear from him, and then you speak to people, where my take on that, just reading it previously, was, you listen to people that you're talking to more, and then, then speak. So that's what do you think of that?
Well, here,
he says, wherefore, verse 18, Cliff, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Mm-hmm. And then he goes and talks about hearing and doing the word. The next few verses are about hearing the word of God that he put out and then doing them. We're supposed to be the first fruits of his what? Preaching the word of truth, which is the gospel of Christ.
Right, so that indicates that the person should be confident that they're going to hear from the Lord on a given issue.
Well, it does, but it also
get the word, the Bible. We sometimes have to take a little initiative, do some work. The answers are there, and if we can't find it, we have help with Bible, like Pastor Ernie, Bible teacher, King's Word School of the Bible, you have help. And also, just sometimes he will speak to you when he is ready, not when you want him to be.
Well, you see, you have another application there. It means exactly what it says. Now, he is referring to listening to the Word of God. If you're listening, listen to the Word of God. Wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear. Listen, and then, and slow to wrath. Now, what is he referring to? Look, he's talking about when men get into an argument. I know some men who have a very, very quick temper. They just explode spontaneously without listening and without, well, the old saying, they look before they leap, or they leap before they look, rather. And that's what he's telling you. Listen first, okay, to find out what this argument is about, what he's saying, before you just jump into combat. We'll be right back.
I hear that train a-coming, it's coming around the bend. That train, it's called judgment, and it's here because of sin. You made the wrong decision, yes, you rejected Christ. Now that train is arriving, and it's a terrifying sight. There is no use in running, there is no place to go. Now you know you're hurt, you're reaping what you sow. You turn your back on Jesus, didn't care why he died. But now you're really caring, just listen to you cry. See those lost folks dying, it's happening near and far. They're waiting now for judgment, and their sins as black as tar. You know you had it coming, you know you can't be free. It's a horrible place to be in, such torment and misery. Now call on the name of Jesus, do it while there's time. He's your only hope now, you're at the end of the line. You may not see tomorrow, your time is running out. Once you're in that hellfire, there ain't no getting out.
Alrighty, we're back. Joe, just let me finish commenting on that. And Joe, Cindy in Chicago was calling in. She's asking for prayer for her son. He's going to have an operation. He's already had one, and it didn't go well. And so he's going to have another one, and an operation on his hand, and she's very concerned and would ask if we would have people across the country pray that this time it would go well. And would you want to pray for that, for Cindy's son?
For Cindy's son?
Right, in Chicago. He's having an operation on his hand.
Right, I just didn't catch his name. She's just Cindy's son. Got it.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
Second operation. Got it. All right, I'd be glad to. Dear Heavenly Father, we don't know Cindy, but you do. And you know her son. You know everything that's going on, and we understand that he's had previous surgery on his hand, did not go well, and I can think of several people that I know here in Missouri that have had similar problems and have had to go in and have second, third surgery. So, Lord, we would just lift up Cindy Sun to you and ask that you would, you know, see that he gets to the right surgeon, that you would guide and direct that surgeon in the operation, and that you would provide the healing necessary so this operation can be successful, that the hand can be restored to use. And we don't know if Cindy and the son are born-again believers or what, but it doesn't matter. You've asked us to bring everything to you in prayer. So we're doing that, Lord, that this person might have a wonderful testimony of the power of prayer. And I'm just praying that all those that are listening are praying with me, saying amen, that we would just place him in your capable, precious hands, Lord, that you would, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Joe. And, you know, just in case Cliff is still listening, you know, we never finished that. You know, for the wrath of man, verse 20, James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Joe, that means does not produce for the wrath. For when you lose your temper and go into a rage, that does not produce, it does not produce God's righteousness, does it?
Right. It doesn't have a good end. Anger never works well.
Amen. Okay. Alrighty. Who do we have next there? Oh, okay. The phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673 nationwide. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call here. And, you know, while we're waiting there, I want to do this real quickly before the next call calls in. I have a right to wear a shirt with those five words. This right is the First Amendment. A brave little student goes off on the school board after his school sent him home for wearing a shirt that said, "There are only two genders."
Oh.
That's right. Middlesbrough, Massachusetts. For that school in Middlesbrough, Massachusetts, let me shame on you. Shame on you. That young boy has much more integrity. He's than you two. Shame on you. You should have given that boy the day off from school.
He has more knowledge than his teachers.
Right. A 12-year-old student went off on a school board, and the members went off on them after his school sent him home because he refused to change his T-shirt that said there are only two genders. I got to tell you, school board, he's smarter than you are. He is smarter than you are. Twitter account first picked up the comments during the Middleborough School Committee meeting, which was held on April 13th. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing. And that's where we're at today in this society, where we have, who would have ever thought that we would be at a place. But you know, Joe, this world is full of idiots. I mean, look, if in this society, if you and I actually, let's just say we're in the Democratic Party, let's just say that we were on a school board or city council of Democrats in this, you know, we could tell them, we could insist, even though if it was a meeting on Monday night, we could insist that it was Saturday. We could tell them, we feel that this is Saturday, and according to the way you people do things, where there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no up or down, okay?
Yeah, then we don't have to go to work because today's Saturday, we got the day off.
Right. Well, we can even say, look, we're going to, we feel that we should, that we should vote for all of you, that on this day, that we should vote for all of you. You know, I mean, because if you take a look at it, in fact, there was a guy out there who it was funny. I was listening to him. He ran for a city council. He was on city council, and he decided, and this was a white Republican city council member, but he decided that he was an Indian lesbian woman.
Woman of color.
Well, no, an Indian, he's talking about an American Indian, okay?
Oh, okay.
So, anyhow, so he decided that's what he was. And they didn't know what to do. Democrats, you know, what are they going to do? You can't use common sense because then you're not a true Democrat. And say, like, if you come up against a Democrat and you say, okay, they tell you, I'm a Democrat, so then you ask them, then are you a homosexual? Are you a sodomite? And then they say, well, no. They say, why aren't you? What do you have against being a sodomite? Okay, are you discriminating? Or you could use the same thing, because see, if they say they're a Democrat, then they have to be totally for everything that the Word of God calls sin. They have to embrace everything that the Word of God calls sin if they're a true Democrat. And so, who do we have? I don't even know if I can say that. Dionisio, you're in the air.
You got it right.
That's the first.
Go ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
God created the earth and the heavens, and we get the scriptures. So Genesis 1:1, I created everything.
Yeah.
And, it was just funny right here. Blessings. In the beginning, created the heavens and the earth, and all the earth was without form. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if you go to John 1:4, it says God created. It was funny right here.
We're created by him. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you.
Yes, Christ was the creator.
The
next would be also in Colossians 3 and also in Hebrews chapter 1. But we got to move on. But listen, thank you. Who do we have next? Jeff, you're in the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, people, listen to these two
old timers,
and they love you.
Well, that's good.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. We're you're on the air. Go ahead.
Anyway, you're talking about the end times and all, you know, how the Bible's telling us, you know, it's getting there. We're at the end here. It's warning you, you know, listen. No, the Bible is true.
Well, we're seeing everything that it's telling you. It doesn't stutter. It gives it very clearly, precisely. We're seeing these things right now, real time. They're happening as we're living them. But the vast majority of the people out here are in la-la land. They're clueless. They don't have a clue of why things are the way they are.
Well, a lot of people, they reject the Bible. You know, listen to this. You know where Noah's Ark is, Pastor?
Well, they say it was at top of Mount Arafat.
Well, it's at Noah's Ark National Park in Turkey, right there at Mount Ararat.
Yeah.
They know exactly where it's at. You know where Moses crossed the Red Sea? They know exactly where it happened because they've seen all of the evidence with, you know, ground penetrating radar. They know exactly where Moses crossed the Red Sea. I mean, there's so many evidences that the Bible is true.
People absolutely.
Need to,
absolutely. I mean, so Anyhow, but again, like I said, but it also tells you that the vast majority of people, the vast majority of them are going to be lost. Hell has opened their mouth wide. And we're doing all we can to get the word out.
Listen to these gentlemen, people. They love you.
Thanks,
Jeff.
Have
a great night, guys.
God bless.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Who do we have next there?
We got a Dean.
Dean, you're in the air.
Thank you. Thank you there, Padre. I mean, Father. I'm not sure. Anyways, what I'm trying to get at is the transgender situation. I'm living it. I have that going on in my house. But at the same time, there's Christian values in that. I feel that I planted a seed, and the seed is growing, and that will sprout at the time when God so sees it. I think there's what they're trying to say, and what I'm viewing is that they're individuals created, not trying to recreate, but basically lost, I would, in my opinion. I'm not correct. So with that said, I will go back to Bible verses. And we'll find that the chosen people, we'll start with David. He had fault and sin even when he was chosen. And so did his son Joseph, on and on. And this is the nature of us humans, the sin. The question is what the point is, where they're going. And I think it comes down to equal rights type of situation where that they say, hey, I'm a girl, I'm a guy. Don't judge me. I'm just here to live my existence, which I pretty much think that may be the cause. But then again, I'm not one to judge. I'm only one to see what's going on. And as I said, I'm living it. I experience it. I've seen both sides. I look at it as a point of maybe that there's a confusion going on, maybe some meddling playing going on from the enemy, which is trying to capture or retake a possibility of someone waking up, as we are all sinners, that we wake up and realize.
I'm running out of time, but let me just say this, that you're right. It's confusion, and God makes it very, very clear that God is not the author of confusion. And, you know, you can, look, if you're either born a man, or a male, or a female, you're not born, and these children that are talked into, and that's a horrible, wicked, evil thing, that are talked into being mutilated, having what they call trans surgery, which is really just mutilation, is child abuse. These people that talk them into that, I've got right here, former transgender to transable people are now choosing to identify themselves as handicapped. All of these people that have had these so-called surgeries, now they're not referring to themselves as transes now. Now they're referring to themselves as people that are handicapped, that made a horrible, horrible mistake that they can't undo. But thanks for calling. Joe, you've got, how much time do we have there? Joe, you got 5 minutes to...
All right. I love that. One of my favorite hymns in Scripture is Nothing But the Blood. And, you know, almost all of these beautiful hymns are poetry put to music. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the last verse, this is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. If we look at the scripture, the blood of Christ, the blood of the only begotten Son of God, is the most precious commodity in the universe. There is nothing that is worth anywhere near the blood of Christ. If we see several places in Scripture, Colossians 1, 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. We see similar 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. And remember, the scripture said, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin, God made him sin for us. He did a substitutionary death. He took the place, our place, on the cross there at Calvary. It was like our sins were nailed to him, nailed to that cross with him. And I really believe that if it had only been one person on earth, he would have still gone to the cross, paid the price for that one sinner who would repent. And that's the whole key to this shed blood of the Lord, to receive his blessing of everlasting life, to receive that forgiveness of sin by his shed blood. We must repent of those sins that placed him there on that cross, and really and truly call upon the Father with that repentant heart and ask for forgiveness. God, forgive us because of what we've done, our sin, my sin, placed your Son upon that cross. Father, forgive me for those sins. I am so sorry. And when you repent, God will forgive. And then you can call upon Jesus. You can call upon him to be Lord of your life, to be your Savior, to be your Messiah, and ask him, please be Lord of my life, all of my life. I accept you as Lord without any reservation, hesitation. And if you do that with that true repentant heart and faith, Jesus will become Lord of your life. He will give you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. You will be changed forever with that indwelling. You become your own high priest. You become your own temple because your body is now the temple of God through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am in the Father in me, and I am in you, through that power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you.
30 seconds.
You become then a born-again believer, the child of the kingdom. And it's the greatest thing that can ever happen to any man, woman, or child on this earth. Right, Pastor?
Absolutely. No one has ever done anything that could mean as much to him. No one ever could, ever would. Well, we are out of time, Joe, so as we do it every night at this time, we say good night.
Good night.
And we say God bless.
God bless.
Always, always
keep
fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.